series. And as we were sharing that, I told him that right now I'm not preaching a series, and I don't. Amen. Genesis chapter 50, beginning of verse 19. I've used this scripture many a time for many a sermon. It's one of my favorite verses. It says, they're carrying this big old silver thing with them everywhere they go.
Right.
I mean, you'd think she'd get a boyfriend, but instead she got a crutch. It's a good choice. Good. Not going, that's a whole other sermon. I ain't even going there. But everybody wants. the work. Well, so you've been. We have. Some of us have been marked by life, and it's not physical. It's emotional. We have emotional scars. We have challenges. And two. Too many.
It just, my life has been so bad.
You know it.
Thank you. Well, you know what's wrong? Mom and Dad need to.
That's actually not true. But think about your brother. Now, some of you. I like this one best. I went through it with my boys. Anthony, a few days ago, a couple months ago. Let me tell you something. When Jacob put that coat on Joseph, he marked him. He marked him. This is my favorite. This one. It became a badge of honor. I'm sure Joseph. How dare you get the coat? You're just a kid. You're not old enough to disappoint. You're just a kid. He was marked by the. Isn't it great when God gives you dreams? Ooh, and everybody just flocks to you and loves you because of the dreams God gives you. Not. I always pick on Sister Ann if I've ever known somebody that carried the ministry and the office of prophet. Sister Ann. Some people think she's weird. Some people, I'm just going to be honest, some people just don't like you at all. You know why? Because she's a prophet. People don't. It marks us. Some of them were odd. I mean, you follow the Word of God and you get that serious face. That Chris face. You know why? Because God is marking him. All of a sudden, we began to get the and people go, "Oh, you just think you're something special now that you got Jesus." Oh, watch out for this. It marks. Joseph was marked. He was marked by others' jealousy. Chapter 37, verse 4. What'd you hear? When his brother, I am one. Southern person sometimes can come. Who am I going to pick on? I'll pick on Brian. Man, you look good today. Man, it's, I mean, you look great. Then a Southern person will walk around and go, "Oh, well, he looks good because he hides that ugly face underneath that beard." I mean, thank the Lord for a beard to cover some faces. See that's when you can't. But his brothers couldn't say a good word to him. So they wasn't just behind his back, they were in front of his face. "Man, you're ugly. You need to grow that beard some more and wrap it up around." I'm kidding. I'm just preaching. I ain't being honest. I'm just preaching. My dad told a story one time when I was growing up. I got home. I said, "Dad, was that story true?" Some of you'll get that in a second. But they could not. See, that's jealousy. You got something. Boy, it sounds like the markings on some of our lives. These people don't like. If everybody just likes. Let me tell you something. If everybody likes you, you better make sure that you are doing something for Jesus. Come on now. I figured out a long time. They killed Jesus. How do we expect? Where people are quitting lying. I'm sick of people lying about me. You know what? People are going to lie. Yes. Amen. It's going to happen. But that mark is not. God cannot lie. And as long as I can, but God, I can lie about. Then we can walk in victory. Oh, so and so, just remember what I did for them. One of these days, when Pastor Brian, we have to call him Bishop Brian, International Youth Director Bishop Brian. He's got that fancy office in Cleveland, Tennessee. And I'm sitting down here saying, Bishop Harris would just remember where he came from. If he'd just remember me, he could help me. But he don't. He forgot about me. Can I tell you how many times I've seen lives shipwrecked? Because instead of following God, they were running.
Come on, come on, come on, Pastor.
Quit waiting on somebody to remember. I got news for you, church. We're lazy. We. I got news for you, church. It's time we quit. I can keep Pastor Brian down here. If I can convince him he's not good enough, if I can convince him that he's not able, if I can convince him that he's only good enough to be my youth pastor, he's not good enough. And don't get nervous, he ain't going nowhere yet. But he is going somewhere, can I tell you that? Can I be honest? The day is going to come. And he's going. Just like 2 years ago, we said Pastor Bradley is no longer. Now, and he's going to bring it back to life. And he's going to be. Now, here, if I sit here and I always tell Brian he can't go, then I hold him back. I stunt his growth. But when I trust God enough, and I train him, and I pour into him, and I find out what his heart is, I find out he wants to be a state youth director. So you know what I start training? I start training how to be a state youth director. Well, Pastor, you were never a state youth director. Now that's because I was stupid. I've been offered it twice. First time I turned it down because I was like, I don't know. I was offered it again in 2000. Which is probably the same result that would have happened if I'd have went. But I've had. I know the people. All the people that. I prepare. Not this year. I told him he wasn't ready yet. I did tell him that. You need a little more experience. But one of these days, I truly. Got onto this talking about why we train and we prepare them to grow up, because we don't want to mark them by jealousy. We want to let them be free. Now, don't you hear this? Joe has been marked. He's been marked. He's been marked by God's dream. He's been marked. Forget him. Neglect. Joseph. The whole world's been against me. He had God's dream at 17. Think about that. 17 plus 28. Dwayne, what is that? Dwayne's not in here. Dear Lord, he left. 45 years old. I'm 48. I'll be 49 in a couple months. I'm so young. So young. My wife will be 50 in just a couple of weeks. She says, but I look better. But I'm 48 years old. I can't even remember being 17. Man. 17? 17? That's when I started preaching. 17. 17 years old. That seems like a long time ago. I talk to most people. I was 17, 1987. So, I got people holding up one hand's worth of numbers. 2, 4. Let me tell you something. So many times, we get marked by the pain of life. We get marked by the heartache of life. And we think we're living it so long that there's nothing else. We think that there's nothing left. But then there's one more mark that Joseph gets. Joseph gets marked. Genesis 41, verse 42. Then Pharaoh took his signet ring off his hand and put it on Joseph's hand, and he clothed him in a garment of fine linen and put gold chain. All of a sudden, Joseph by the king. Some of y'all need to get this. You be marked by other people's love, and it can bring you more pain. See, I got to go back and talk about that for a second. Some of you get marked by other people's love because you're looking for love in all the wrong places. Channel my 70s music. Looking for love in too many faces. And you don't even remember that song. But all of a sudden, I remember when it came out. All of a sudden, we think that love and we got too much baggage. Let me tell you something. You've been marked up by other people's love. You've been marked up. Pastor, that's got to be. Well, I was supposed to. Yeah. What if? Maybe I should have. Come on. I got to turn around. That's why nobody thinks I'm talking to them. Well, God gave me. Marked up of other people's jealousy and hate and anger and attitude and junk. I wish I could preach this at camp meeting with a room full of preachers. Because those preachers get marked over people's junk.
That's right.
Let me tell you this. Every one of you in this room is a minister. Every one of you have a minister. I can't work. But something happened to Joseph. All of a sudden, one day, and he calls everybody. The sermon ain't got time to preach. Some of you, the reason you can't get to your victory is you're not willing to take the time to get cleaned up from the pit. He calls him. Walks in the room, Pharaoh, and he says, "Oh, Pharaoh, this dream means that you're going to have 7 years of plenty, followed by 7 years of great famine." I love it. Read it. He says, "If the king will."
I know.
Said, I had to look around and figure out who I trusted with this. That's the church credit card right there. You take that, get whatever you do whatever you need to do to make this happen. Lord, give it to me after church. But on that credit card, it says Souls Harbor Church of God. And under there, this one is mine. So Souls Harbor Church of God, Tommy Sandifer. But when I hand this card over to somebody, this card directly taps in to our bank accounts, our savings accounts. Every dime that we have is represented in that card right there. He can go to any store. He can slide that card and he can buy anything he needs to buy. That's what the signet ring was. You've got the seal of the king. You can do anything you need to do. Then he put robes on him. You know what those robes were? They were robes. That was Pharaoh. He was more important than ever. Then he put a gold chain on his neck that again showed his authority and his power. He was marked by the king's robes. The whole sermon would be worthless without that marking. Because we open this with chapter 50, verse 19 and 20. He has went through the whole thing, given. Come back another time. I've been around Curtis too much. I'll come back another time and preach about don't fear me and my God, because some people, we've been going around fearing the wrong people and not fearing God. We've been afraid of what is Chris going to think, what is Chris. Standing in fear of my bed.
Come on.
See, somebody got it. Hear that. He started wearing his bed. He ended it. See, some of us. So far in that one little thought. But I want to tell you something. All the markings of his life were there to prepare him for the victory that he's known for. When you realize that God's power in your life isn't detracted or detoured by the marks of this life, then your life becomes a life of power. You hear it said often, and I say it often, or I think it often. I don't know how often I say it, but I think it. I live my life, and the older I get, the more I do this. I live my life thinking about, what are people going to say at my funeral? What are they going to say when I'm dead? They're going to say, praise God, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, he's gone. Are they going to, I'm getting to the place, I'm telling you. I've already decided. I'm following suit, sister. I'm following suit. Next year, I'm doing my first video. I want to make sure I know what they say at my funeral. I'm preaching it. I'm preaching it. Let me tell you something. I live my life. The older I get, the more I understand the importance of legacy. What is the legacy that I'm leaving? And I don't want the legacy of my life. I don't want. God. He used it to be victorious. This morning, 2 weeks from now, when we talk about a few other people, here's what I want us to get out of it. You're not too marked up by life to do what God's called you to do. You may be here today and you don't know who Jesus is. You haven't accepted him in your heart. And you think that you've been too bad. You're too far gone. You've been too. And your life feels marked up with pain and heartache, and you want to be marked by the robes that your Father puts on you. All you got to do is accept him. All you got to do is follow him. Admit you have sinned. Believe that he died for your sin and rose again. Commit to living. That's all it takes. And he takes the markings of this life and he creates the markings for the next life. Do you know that there's going to be a place where we're going to receive crowns for what we did here and what we overcame here? And you know why that's important? Because you know what we're going to do with those crowns? We're going to throw them at the feet of Jesus. I'm going to tell you, I don't need a crown to get to heaven. But when I get there and I'm face to face with my Lord, I want something to throw at his feet. I don't want to just be selfish and say, God, I made it. But I want to. And now you've rewarded me, and now I'm going to throw them back at your feet because you gave me victory there. I want to give you honor here. All you got to do is accept him. Everybody bow your head, close your eyes. Pastor, why do you do that? I don't do that for any other reason, but I don't want anybody to have an excuse. I don't want anybody to have an excuse. I think it would be better if we just made everybody stand up and walk up here and say, I want to get you home. If you're here today and say, Pastor Tommy, I need to be marked by God. I'm marked up by life. But I don't even know if I really follow Jesus anymore. I just sort of go through the motions. I don't know that I have a relationship with Him. If you were to ask me if I died and went to heaven, right? If I died, you need to be marked by God's blood. To do that, all you got to do is lift your hand today, and we'll pray a prayer together. And then from there, you got to change. That's when you got to start working. It's the easy part. It's not the end part. If you're here today and say, Pastor, I want to give my heart to the Lord this morning, I want you to just lift up your hand. Yes. Yes. I want everybody in this church to pray this prayer with me. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank you that you have come into my heart. Lord, I admit that I've sinned. I've messed up. I've made mistakes. But today, I believe you died. You were buried. And you rose victorious over my sin. And I commit to live my life for you, to follow you, to obey you, and to learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen. God has changed your life. You've been marked. Now the marks of this life will pale to the marks of God's life. Thank you for being here today. Remember to be back tonight. Thank you.